Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of free Washington and future capital of the State of Liberty, Spokane Valley. Once again, brought to you by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And once again, this is the year, not that we have, but that we will make freedom a reality, because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as Jeremiah 6:16 reminds us, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. A rebirth of freedom. Can you feel it? I'm starting to. And by the conversations people are having, I think they can feel it too. We all can. It's up to us, though, to make it a reality at the local level. It is. Everything that we do, every action that we take to be that God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American, and everything that we do. When you see your neighbors stuck, you go help them out. Maybe plow their driveway for them. That's the American thing to do. When you see something that needs to be done, you don't wait for somebody to ask you. You do it. And if you can't figure something out, you go look it up, as my father used to so often remind me, go look it up and don't be lazy. Teach yourself. That's what being American means. And the way that the world's going right now, we have to have a rebirth of that independent spirit. Because we really are that shining city on a hill. We're emboldening people across the world right now. They can see freedom too. Which brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing in the international front. So China, remember we've been talking about this, said that the rookie Trump needed to fall in line. Then they went ahead and stole a submarine drone in the South China Sea, obviously escalating things. It was in international waters, and have now given it back. But these are the types of escalations that we're going to continue to see as the Trump administration is going to be tested, not just after inauguration, but they're going to be tested before inauguration. And it's interesting, too, that the blame America first, blame everybody but themselves crowd of the left, you know, seems to think that Trump should have stopped all of the things from happening. And the question has to be, well, weren't you guys in charge? You know, it's like the issue here in Washington State with education. Haven't you guys been in charge for 30 years? Maybe with a couple exceptions. Where's the accountability with you? And I think we need to start asking that question. You guys were in charge. What happened? Because believe me, they're going to pull out all the stops in regards to the Trump administration. And I think what we're going to see is intentional fomenting of chaos here in America before, during the inauguration, or both, and following it too. Now, the burning of neighborhoods and businesses and the looting and stuff that goes on with that, it doesn't ever make really a lot of sense to me. From the people who always say that the conservative constitutionalists are the hate-filled ones, you don't see conservative constitutionalists going out there and doing that kind of stuff. You don't. Closest thing to that is a peaceful protest. Armed. I mean, and nobody gets hurt. It's very interesting, the differences in worldview. And I think this is why in Scripture it's so important to understand where it says, by their fruits you will know them. The fruits of the Spirit, not what they say, not all the jabbering in the media and everything else, not what they say, what they do. And we have to have the courage to say, you know what, that's wrong. And I'm going to stand against that. And I'm going to call it out. And I'm going to call it out wherever I'm at, in my workplace, in my church. Because that helps to make disciples and embolden other people to stand up and be courageous as well. Putting yourself out there as an object of ridicule and scorn is honestly what we are called to do as Christians. And it emboldens other people when they see your sacrifice to do the same thing. And so getting back to what we're talking about here with the Chinese, it's going to take bold leadership. It is. But that bold leadership can't just be from one person at the top. It's got to be all of us at all levels. Also on the international front, once again, just reminding you about what's going on in Jerusalem particularly. So you have the reconstitution of the Sanhedrin. You've got the election of a Jewish high priest. Then you've got the UN changing the Temple Mount, or trying to anyways, to Muslim. And we're going to be talking about this, hopefully, later in the radio show today with somebody who is in Israel right now. And if you're watching all of this, you understand that this really kind of indicates a season, as Scripture admonishes us to be on the watch for. And, I mean, it's just, it's amazing all of this happening so fast right now. Which brings us now to Turkey and what appears to be an ISIS-affiliated police officer killing the Russian ambassador in cold blood. And apparently there was also another official gunned down hours later as well. Now, I saw one little blip about this in the news, and I've been trying to find it again since. But this just shows that there are people over there who want to literally try to start a war of biblical proportions, literally. And I don't think the Russians are going to sit back on this one. I mean, you know, Putin is not Obama and is not going to sit back when his ambassador is killed. Unlike what we really saw happen here in America when our ambassador was killed in Libya. And I watch this terrorist attack happen in Germany as well, in Berlin. And again, a supposed refugee, and now a bunch of people are dead or injured. And there's still people trying to apologize for this. You can't. I mean, being a country that is independent and has the rule of law should mean that everybody has to obey that, and nobody's given different treatment. And really, that's what we see happening with refugees coming from Syria. It is. And I've done my own investigation on this. It is very interesting to me that refugees coming from other parts of the world, namely Ukraine, are treated entirely different, or they undergo entirely different interview processes as far as depth is concerned and background analysis. And part of it is because in Syria, there aren't the records to go against. But the fact is, if we cannot vet, then we should not be letting them in. There are so many other options to that as well. It's not as if Saudi Arabia doesn't have the room. Which brings us also on the international front to Venezuela. Now, a lot of people said to me about 4 years ago, you know, these dire predictions of socialism collapsing somewhere in the world are never going to happen. And it's always overblown. It's never as bad as people say. Well, here we have Venezuela. Socialist country, arguably a communist country. Massive civil unrest, massive chaos. We've been detailing it on the radio show for a long time. Now massive inflation. Then they try to do some currency reform. Now here was the reform. Take away the 100 Bolivar note. So there's only 500 Bolivar notes because of all the rampant inflation that's happening. Oh, by the way, too, we also heard inflation wasn't going to happen. That'll never happen in a developed country. Folks, Venezuela is one of the oil-richest countries in the world. And socialism failing there has resulted in some just horrific stories coming out of there. Cannibalism, murder, rape, just total chaos. And there are still people that refuse to believe that there's a lesson to be learned there, especially for us. Now, there are some countries that are learning this lesson. You cannot continue to print money. You cannot continue to have policies in government so large that it collapses the entire system through this socialist idea. There's some countries are starting to learn this, and one of the interesting countries that is actually learning this, this sounds weird, but it's Cuba, which brings us to the next thing on the international front. So Cuba had some Cold War debts. One of those debts was to the Czech Republic. I think what's still owed on is about $270 million, according to Bloomberg. Okay, and the Cubans don't want to print their way out of debt. In other words, they could just print a bunch of Cuban notes and then give it to the Czechs and pay the debt off, right? I mean, they don't want to do that. So the Cubans are resorting to something very interesting. And by the way, this is going to vindicate those in the Christian, quote, prepper movement. I don't even really like that, actually. We just are prepared people that know that peace and non-chaos is kind of the exception to what's happening in the world. But the Cubans have made the proposal to pay the Czechs in rum, to pay off all of this Cold War debt in rum. Now, Bloomberg did this kind of cheeky analysis that it would take them, you know, over 100 years to, you know, drink the rum. I mean, it sounds like kind of almost a challenge to the Czechs to say something like that. But the point behind this is critical. In the article, Bloomberg acknowledges that other countries are actually offering different things as barter, as trade, to pay these debts off. Because they know they can't continue to print money. So they're using tangible goods to pay some of these debts off. Very interesting. And it vindicates a lot of people in the prepper community who have said, you know, barter is what happens. And now we're seeing barter on literally a national scale, with the Cubans, of all people, offering rum to pay this Cold War debt to the Czech Republic. And I see this actually increasing in frequency as the jig on fiat money is up. I see this increasing in frequency where countries are literally going to come up with ideas to pay intangible goods like this. I find it very creative. It's rum, though, for Cuba. Maybe cigars are next. I don't know. Actually, they didn't offer that first. Maybe that's why they want to keep their cigars. I don't know. On the national front, Sheriff Joe Arpaio coming out with his final report on Obama's birth certificate, concluding it is indeed a forgery. And he did this not from a perspective of Obama was born in a different country, but simply that it is against the law to forge a document. And only major law enforcement agency in the country to investigate this. And coming up with this conclusion that there is absolutely no doubt. And the interesting part about it, too, is they think they found the source document for the forgery. In other words, a document that was used to cut and paste into this forged document. So that was a conclusion from Sheriff Arpaio's investigation. And I'm sure there'll probably be more coming out after the inauguration as well. Also on the national front, and I brought this up before, the use of predictive algorithms. A lot of people don't understand that their data, everything you do, how you shop, where you shop, when you shop, who your relationships are with, how they shop, how that's connected to maybe how you shop, all of those things are being collected, and then predictive algorithms are literally trying to predict what your behavior will be, and they introduce stimulus, could be a coupon, could be an incentive, could be a deal, could be an advertisement that has all of those things as well, to induce you to behave in a certain way. That's what these predictive algorithms are being used for. And it's not just advertising. See, this is also being used in intelligence circles. And it has been actually for quite a while. But activity-based intelligence, gathering everything you possibly can about a person and their activities and their relationships and everything. And then through that profile, using a predictive algorithm to change their behavior. And that's where all of this is headed. And I think it raises some very profound questions about who we are as human beings, what freedom actually means, what privacy means. And it's something that I think everybody that's listening to this program needs to get educated on, these ideas of activity-based intelligence and predictive algorithms. Also on the national front, the Electoral College officially making Trump president of the United States, at least president-elect. And interesting, though, there's something called faithless electors. Now, before this time in modern history, there was only one faithless elector in modern history. Back in 1976, Mike Padden, who's a senator here in the 4th Legislative District, a great friend, Mike Padden voted, instead of Gerald Ford, voted for Ronald Reagan and was considered a faithless elector in modern times. Now, since 1872, there have not been more than one faithless elector in the Electoral College per cycle until now. For the first time since 1872, there were 6 faithless electors. Now, interestingly enough, and not really widely reported in the media, those faithless electors weren't faithless to Donald Trump. They were faithless to Hillary Clinton, at least 4 of them. And particularly, they came from Washington State. 4 of them came from Washington State. So very interesting, this whole issue that actually Hillary might have suffered worse from faithless electors had she received enough electoral votes, at least ostensibly from the election in November. So very interesting. But just wanted everybody to know that since 1872, it's the most faithless electors since 1872. And I think it's a sign of the times. So there's a lot of wild cards out there. And a lot of people are just, they're not happy with the system and the way it's going. Also on the national front, admitted before a congressional committee that there are over 400 cell phone simulators. These are otherwise known as dirt boxes, stingray devices that simulate a cell tower so that they can capture your information on your cell phone. $95 million being spent on this. And 2 of these cell phone simulators, stingrays, dirt boxes, are being used by the IRS. You heard that right, being used by the IRS. I'm going to put out an article here on Facebook about this in the next couple days. But the bottom line is that here in Washington State, with our House bill, I believe it was 1440, we prohibited the use of these stingray devices last year without a warrant. So these things could not be used without a warrant in Washington State because they were being used without a warrant in Washington State. Now, the federal government, though, seems to be expanding this program. And it brings up the issue that Congress should do something about this. This massive, widespread collection of data like that, clearly against the Fourth Amendment and the idea that you can be free in your person and effects. And that's what the Founding Fathers used that word, because it'd be a catch-all. You know, if somebody came into your house right now, opened up your file cabinet, started rifling through your stuff, you'd be like, what are you here for? What are you doing? Do you have a warrant? Right? Well, why is it any different with your electronic files? It shouldn't be. So this is becoming a bigger issue, and now it finally admitted before a House committee, $95 million, a lot of money being spent on these cell phone simulators. Also on the national front, the Russian hacking of the election. First of all, our election system is so decentralized. It's decentralized to the county level. It's not interconnected, as it were, that you could hack across the board. But, you know, after seeing what the media did on my bill to enforce existing law here in Washington State on concealed carry permit folks being able to carry in stadiums and convention centers, as the law already provides for. And seeing the fake news story that came out of that, you know, this Russian hacking thing. I mean, does anybody trust the media anymore? And then Brian Williams comes out against fake news, you know. I mean, come on. Does anybody trust what the media is saying anymore? And that's why I think we have to become the media and our interconnections. And we have to be diligent as well. And we make sure we have primary source documents and facts and back it up. And if we make a mistake, just admit it and fix it. Boom, done. That's what we should do. But I think we're going to hear more about this. And really what the left is trying to do is to shut down any dissent. And this is what happens in socialist and communist countries. Eventually, they try to shut down and control information so that they can control people. That's why in Russia, the former Soviet Union, they had something called Pravda, which meant truth in Russian, but everybody knew it was exactly the opposite, and that was their news source. So watch them continue. Watch them continue to attack real news and stifle dissent. Also, on the regional front, once again, the Freedom Agenda team is going to be live video broadcasting from Olympia during session, so you know what's going on the ground, real time, and how you can help fix things and get involved. Also on the regional front, once again, the 51st state moving ahead tremendously. A constitutional drafting committee has been formed. They're going to be proposing a draft constitution. And because people don't think this is real or can happen, we're going to fill in the blanks here, and that's what we're going to do. We're also looking at finalizing what the flag of the 51st State of Liberty will look like, and we have a bunch of different ideas on that have come in. We're going to be finalizing that here this week and get that out to everybody so that you can take a look at some of the ideas and you can vote on it and be involved on it as well. Now, it was interesting. A lot of people said, oh, you're wasting time. 73% support this, according to a KXLY poll of over 8,000 people. This is on everybody's minds. People are sick and tired of it. They're sick and tired of the west side of the state. Badmouth. And if you don't think they badmouth, go take a look at what they did when this idea came out. I mean, it was, you bunch of hillbillies this and hillbillies that. I mean, they badmouth people. So much hate. And my retort to that is, if we're such a burden and you hate us so much, why don't you just let us go? Sorry. Just let us go. Call their bluff on this thing. You know, if they think we're going to be living in poverty and have higher taxes because we'd have the exact same size and scope of bloated government they did, let them think that. Let us go. Because we won't have that same size and scope of bloated government. We won't have that same level of taxation because we're going to grow the economy, which is going to grow revenue. And we're going to shrink the size of government dramatically. And that's what we'll do here in Eastern Washington, in the new state of liberty. Also on the regional front, I briefly mentioned this, the stadium gun bill. Once again, it is existing law in Washington state for concealed carry permit holders to carry in stadiums and convention centers. It's what the law says. Now, these local public facility districts and stadium authorities tried to say they weren't, quote, another municipality, as the law says, because there's a catch-all at the end of it that says other municipalities, because it was trying to cover everything. They try to say, well, we're not one of those other municipalities. And so they also go and they make third parties that are contracting with them to use the venue contract away the right to bear arms. They're actually getting around the existing law and the spirit of the law. I believe acting in an illegal manner, and that was what our bill was intended to fix and is intended to fix. And we're going to continue to push this because this is an unalienable right, and it's already existing law. So this whole fake news thing that came out about this being something new was ridiculous. And very candidly, some people said, well, what do you really want to go up against the NFL or Major League Baseball? No, I just want to do the right thing. This is the right thing to do. It is absolutely abhorrent that people would want to deprive their fellow citizens of the right to defend themselves in one of the most likely terrorist targets in America. Our stadiums and convention centers. Just unbelievable somebody would even bring that up in today's day and age. And we need to hold people accountable for this stuff. these gun-free zones and all the blood that is on the ground of these gun-free zones is the testimony of why we shouldn't have it. We should never have a gun-free zone. We should always have that right to keep and bear arms in our public places. Private? Fine. Different. Public should have the right to bear arms. Also on the regional front, the Inslander did an article where they tried to say that yours truly and our Freedom Agenda team were just not, we weren't effective legislators. We were passing milquetoast bills. Didn't really do much. Highlighting a couple of those so-called milquetoast bills. I mentioned the banning of Sharia law and the enforcement of Sharia law, and the creation of Sharia courts, banning those as well. Those were passed. We also had the Wood Stove Protection Act, so people can't be fined for using a wood stove in an emergency. And yes, that was a possibility before. We also have a couple bills that you may not even know about, one of which expanded cottage foods, in other words, allowing people to make food in their own home and sell it at market, allowing that actually to happen in a more robust way in Washington State. That's not milquetoast. We have a lot of people, especially in Eastern Washington, in the cottage food industry. Huge. And we got that through. One of the other things that we don't talk about is some of the things that we've done as Freedom Agenda team with rules. Citizens testifying first before lobbyists and agency heads. It was our idea to bring that forward, and we got that rule accepted. Now, it wasn't as strongly worded as I wanted, or as any of the other Freedom Agenda members wanted, but it was accepted. And those are some examples of how we're fighting. And I'm going to continue to bring these up. Those are not milquetoast things. These are substantive, fundamental changes to the direction of our state that have really, I believe, changed the culture, but also emboldened people to get involved that we actually can really make a difference. On the local front, very briefly, the North-South Freeway, a couple phone calls this week. Looks like things are edging closer to a final agreement on getting this freeway built and the black tank issue solved. So please keep praying about that over the holidays. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And please go to Facebook.com/PatriotRadioUS, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And here over the holidays, spend some time with family, just not with cell phones and, TV and stuff. Spend some time with family, maybe outside or doing an activity, playing games, and really draw closer together and make sure God is at the center of your family as well. If you have the opportunity over the holidays, try to do that. I think that helps to renew the American spirit and the spirit of freedom. Well, once again, it is my pleasure to have Cheryl Hancock on the show today, reporting from Israel. Cheryl, thank you very much for joining me once again on Patriot Radio. How are you doing?
Oh, doing great. Thank you for having me on the program.
Well, so there is so much going on over there. It's amazing. I want to start, though, with this pillar of cloud that was sitting on the Israeli-Syrian border that just kind of stood there, and all the video that's out there. What have you heard about that, and what are your comments on it?
Well, I've gotten some friends actually emailing me and sending pictures, and of course it's been in all the media, and they call it a miracle of the Lord that he shields them. And it just kind of gave them encouragement, especially those that are up on the Golan Heights right now that are actually being hit by rockets coming in from Syria, whether it be ISIS or Syrians. But it was almost like an encouragement. The Lord is protecting them. And people are looking up. It's amazing. So the Bible is actually one of the subjects in school. And Netanyahu said before the school started this year, he said, the most important topic, subject you're going to learn in school is the Bible. And so it was very interesting that now people are looking up, people are listening, and of course there's Bible study at Netanyahu's house every week, and they're going into the what we call the Old Testament, the Torah Tanakh, and they're reading and they're looking up. A friend of mine just called me, and he told me he's at the press conference. It's for the foreign journalists tonight. Well, tonight is Israel's 10 hours ahead of California and Washington, of course. And he said he was able to ask Netanyahu a question. And he said that as he talked about the Christian people are standing with Israel, Netanyahu answered and said, "What a blessing that God is having people that love God stand with Israel." And anyways, he began talking about, you know, Second Chronicles 7:14, where if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. And he said, this is what we need to be doing now. We need to be on our knees, reaching up to the Lord. So it was an amazing thing. And that happened tonight in Israel.
That is really, really exciting. What is the reaction been in Israel to Trump's election and kind of the subsequent events that have occurred since November?
Wow. Well, even before the election, I was told by Israelis that they wanted Trump to win because they didn't want the same administration. They wanted somebody who can understand them as a people group. They wanted somebody to come over and look at the situation on the ground and see how big Israel is and see where the borders are and see the destruction that's being caused all the time from either Hezbollah or from Hamas, rockets coming in, stabbing attacks, car rammings. All this is still going on, even yesterday. So they want somebody that understands them, and they believe Trump will understand them more as a people group than Obama did. I was there when Obama came. He only went to certain areas. He didn't even go out to see the land and see what was going on. He spoke to people, and then he got back on the plane and left. So they're hoping that they have hope. You know, they have more hope now than they've had before. But I talked to my Muslim friends, and they did not want Trump to win. They wanted Hillary to win because they liked the way things were going, and it gave them more chance to get into America and get out of the Palestinian Authority, to immigrate, to get into the country easier. So it's really interesting. Since the election, Israelis are happy, and they're happy Trump won. They really feel like there will be a change, and actually, Trump is standing up for the Jewish people already. One of his first order of businesses was to call Netanyahu, and he phoned him. And now he's talking about moving the embassy to Jerusalem, the American embassy to Jerusalem. And it's in Tel Aviv, where all the other embassies from other countries is, and Jerusalem is the capital. And all of our embassies, our foreign embassies, are in Washington, D.C., not in New York or Los Angeles, because they have to do business within the capital. So the capital building for Israel, the Knesset, is what it's called, and that is in Jerusalem. And all the others are an hour away in Tel Aviv. So Trump said that he's going to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So what happened was in 1995 that our Congress said, yes, they are going to move the embassy. But the president has a right every 6 months to waiver that move because if there's a turmoil and it might cause problems in Israel, they can just waiver it and say, no, they're not going to move the embassy for another 6 months. Well, every president since 1995 has wavered that every 6 months. Obama just signed that paper recently. So it cannot be moved for another 6 months. And if Trump does move the embassy, as you probably know, that's going to cause a big problem in Israel. So I don't know if Netanyahu is going to actually let him move the embassy because it could cause a war. It's not just the Arab Muslims that are in Israel called the Palestinians, but all the Muslim countries around them are also not wanting Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel, but the capital of the Muslim or Palestinian people. So we may be seeing some turmoil if that really does happen. So we'll see.
Wow. I mean, it's just amazing to watch this stuff happen, and especially some things that really indicate that we are in the end times. And I'm seeing this. Everything is focusing on Jerusalem, and let's focus now on the Temple Mount. So much happening on the Temple Mount. I think a lot of listeners have probably missed it because it just does not get reported well here in U.S. media. What is happening with the Temple Mount, and where do you think this is trending or heading?
Well, I think we talked about it last time that the Temple Mount has been renamed by the United Nations. It's been renamed to the Al-Aqsa Compound. And it's been said by the UN that it does not have any historical ties to the Jewish people. In other words, there was no temple. And the Western Wall, also, the UN said that that does not belong to the Jewish people because there are no historical ties. And it's a Muslim site, and it's called now the Al-Barak Plaza. So these things are what the UN is wanting to call them, and I think what they're trying to do is when there's going to be, they're hoping for a two-state solution, and they want the capital for the Palestinian people to be in Jerusalem and part of that old city. That old city right now is almost international. And the UN did try to put their flag up at the Western Wall at one point, and it was brought down pretty quickly because the Jewish people said, that's our place. That's where the Holy of Holies was. That is where God, that was God's house. That's why David, King David and Solomon built that temple for the house of God. And he resided there in the Holy of Holies. So now that whole thing is trying to be ripped out of the hands of the Jewish people, and they aren't going very easy about it. What is going on is that that Temple Mount does belong to Jerusalem, has belonged to Jerusalem. Jews go there, and they pray at the Western Wailing Wall. People have heard about that for years, and they still do. Israel won that back in 1967. So Israel is going to be fighting for what is actually theirs. Well, all this escalates. Next year is the 100th anniversary of the Balfour Declaration. 1917, Lord Balfour declared that there's going to be a home state for the Jewish people, and that homeland would be Israel, what God originally gave to the Jewish people. So next year, there's going to be some problems, probably, because the Palestinian Authority has already gone and asked the British, because it was under the British mandate, the British, that they should take that back. They should apologize for even giving the Jews a Jewish homeland, and they should apologize, and they should help the Palestinians have a state. So next year, when Israel's celebrating, the Arab people are going to be probably fighting. So it'll be an interesting year, that's for sure.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, that history is so important in the Middle East, and they remember generations upon generations they remember back. That was what struck me when I served over in Iraq. I mean, you could go back literally, and they would do it frequently, you know, 100 years. Just don't you remember when this happened or this happened or this happened or this happened? So I agree with you. I think that that is going to be key, even though we might not recognize it here in America. This coming year is going to be key. I want to shift gears a little bit into what happened to the ambassador of from Russia in Turkey. What have you heard on the ground there about, you know, the reverberations of that, or what that might mean for Israel?
Well, actually, because I'm traveling right now, I haven't been able to understand what's going on the ground there. So what I'm telling you is what I do know. And I know that when the guy shot him, of course, he said Allahu Akbar, which actually means our God is greater. It doesn't mean God is great. It means our God is greater. And so the guy shot him. And I know that it was a rebel in Syria from one of the Al-Nusra Front, I believe he was. And that's who Syria is fighting against, and that's who Russia is helping Syria fight against. So Israel is trying really hard to stay out of the middle of what's happening in Syria with Russia, because Russia, being such a big power helping Syria, that's why the rebels are losing. They almost kicked the regime out. They were doing so well fighting, the rebels were. And then when Russia joined the war there, they started moving forward quickly and wiping out the rebels, which now they're pretty much wiping them out good. And Israel is kind of concerned because right there, they're fighting right there on the Golan Heights. There's a Syrian side of the Golan Heights, and there's an Israel side of the Golan Heights. And the Syria side of the Golan Heights is where fighting is going on. That's why rockets are landing in Israel periodically. Strays are. But also, Israel is firing when they fire at Israel purposely, like ISIS did recently. ISIS shot a rocket to Israel, to troops that were patrolling. And Israel fired back and killed four ISIS members. But one thing Israel is concerned about, they also fired on a convoy of Hezbollah that were taking weapons to southern Lebanon, which is not good because that's right on the border of Israel, and they have all kinds of rockets, and Israel really thinks that's their most imminent threat is when Hezbollah starts firing those rockets at Israel, and a lot of them are going to be guided. They can shoot what they want instead of just unguided missiles. And Israel is also concerned, and we all have to look at this, that Russia has helped Syria fight back the rebels. But can Russia or will Russia help Syria retrieve the Golan Heights from Israel, take the Golan Heights back? See, Israel won the Golan Heights. Because Syria occupied that. With Russia on their side, that's a big foreign power. And Israel is keeping in close contact with Russia. Netanyahu has been there twice since 2015 to Russia, and they made they signed an agreement that Russia will not fly over Israel, and Israel will not interfere with the war that's going on. But everyone is on alert just in case something happens and the war spills over into Israel or purposely comes over into Israel and they try to get the Golan Heights back. So it's really a very volatile situation over there on the border right now. Israel's on high alert, as you can imagine. So it's hard. It's a hard place to be for an Israeli. And when that, what you talked about in the beginning, when that shield, that storm came and stopped right there, it was such an encouragement. So, and that's what they need. They need prayer, of course, and they need encouragement.
Well, they do. We all do, actually, yeah, with everything that's happening in the world right now. When I see the continued push, especially by the Muslim Brotherhood and other organizations like that, to just drive Israel into the sea, and then, you know, obviously infiltrate America and create terrorism and terrorist attacks here in America, and we see what happened in Berlin as well. We don't see that happen as often in Israel, or does it, and we just don't see it reported. If you could kind of comment on that, because for us, this is kind of becoming normal here in America that we have a terrorist attack every so often, and same with Europe. You know, they have one every couple of weeks, 3 weeks, and we're having the same thing happen in America. I mean, does it become a normal in Israel, and that's why it's not reported, or is it just not happening?
Well, actually, a lot of them are being stopped in Israel, which is fantastic. They are catching people getting ready to do an attack. We have really great security in Israel. And I know that the Americans came over recently, and they're being trained by Israelis on how to do security in America, because we're going to need it in America, that's for sure. But Israel has stopped so many attacks, and that's why you don't hear about it. You only hear usually when people get killed. I don't know if you heard this one happen yesterday or the day before. Two people walked up to border police officers and killed them at the Lion's Gate. They attacked them with a screwdriver and just stabbed and stabbed, and one of the Palestinians was shot. But, you know, this goes on every day. There's something that's happening and something that's stopped from happening. It's amazing how many people have been killed since October of last year. And this is they call it a knife intifada. The Arabs were calling it a knife intifada, and it's still going on. The West doesn't know about it because they think, oh, that's just another attack, random attack. No, there's been a knife intifada going on since October 1st of last year. And you see children, 11, 12 years old, going down the streets with knives or scissors, stabbing people. And grandmothers running people over with their car. If you're standing by the bus stop, you got to watch out. Now they're doing drive-by shootings of the Jews standing by the bus stops. So even last night, there was an attack on a road where they were shooting into a car. So I didn't get a report if anyone was killed in that one or not. So it continues going on. These are small attacks, and this is what they called for in October of last year. But we haven't had any big attacks lately like this on a building all at one time. These are just random individuals that are taking heed to that incitement that's going on through the Palestinian Authority television, through the school books, telling them they have to kill the Jews because they took in over their land. and through MTV type music. They don't call it MTV, but it's music that they show on television, and they tell them to put a suicide belt on and go and blow up people. This has been going on for a long time, but we haven't seen anything blow up recently, which is great. You know, the Lord is protecting the people, but also they have a great security system in Israel. So we need to get that over here. I think that it would be very wise to be ready for any kind of attacks that happen, as what you said, is going around the world right now.
Well, that is, you know, clearly there is somebody that is orchestrating all this, because it's happening on a very recurrent basis. It's happening in very strategic locations, very well thought out. How do we attack the root? Because I think a lot of people say, you know, we seem to just be attacking the symptoms. How do we attack the root of this?
Right. Well, you know, I read a report. I get memory. It's a very good source, because what they do is they take the Arabic media and they translate it to English. And so you read in English what these people are really saying in the Arab world and in the Muslim world. And what they were saying, ISIS has been saying since, I think, about a week and a half ago, they've been saying that that individuals that support ISIS need to go out and attack during these holiday seasons. You attack the people of the book. The people of the book are the Arabs, are the Jews and the Christians. And I don't know if you know, but on December 24th is Christmas Eve, but it's also Hanukkah Eve, where you light your first candle. And for the 8 days of Hanukkah, they do it every single day. They light a new candle. And that ends on January 1st, on New Year's Day. So during our holiday season, it lined up to be the same holiday season for Hanukkah. And that's why ISIS has called to go and kill Westerners. That's why you saw it at the Christmas market. They're coming against the different, the infidels, of course, but the different religions, the Christians and the Jews, during our holiday season. So how do you get that? You know, our government thinks if you go and you kill the leader of the group, that you've wiped out, you know, they're going to all stop and you've wiped out that group. That's not true. What they do is they get another head. Another person takes over. That person had just become a martyr, and they went to heaven, and they get to have 72 virgins and all the wine they can drink. So they don't stop. They have a goal, and they are geared towards that goal until they die. Because, you know, one of the only ways that you can go into heaven if you're a Muslim is to die in a holy jihad, a holy war. Yes, you can do all the five pillars of Islam, but that doesn't guarantee. You still have to go in front of Muhammad, in front of Allah, and he has a right to say he's not going to accept you. But if you die in a holy jihad, you will go to heaven, they say, you know, and that's where the virgins are. And, yeah, all the wine you can drink. So, no, cutting the head off doesn't work with them. They just keep on going. As you see ISIS, they have slowed ISIS down. They have taken they haven't slowed them down in certain ways, but they have taken lots of territory that ISIS had, and ISIS had to leave and scatter those areas because they're fighting over there in Syria. But look at where they're popping up, in Berlin, in Sweden, in America. People are fighting for ISIS in Libya, you know, Tunisia, around the world. They're not going to go away. And, you know, one thing I mentioned, we were talking about this in a group setting, and when ISIS first started in 2014, at the Easter, I remember them beheading priests in Iraq. And you could see it growing like a snowball, or like a tidal wave is a good way to explain it, like a tidal wave coming our way. And the only way you're going to stop it is by a tidal wave going back, you know, to push it back. Now, Syria and Russia has been doing some of that. America has been doing some of that. And so they're scattering, but they're popping up. They're popping up in different places. So it's being incited by the internet, by chat rooms, by websites. You can even go to websites and see how to kill people best with a knife. Just crazy things. A little girl, 8-year-old girl, had a suicide belt on. She walked into a police department. And it was remotely triggered, and she blew up herself and lightly wounded one of the police officers. I mean, it's crazy what these people do. They have a whole different mindset than us here in the West. I've lived in Israel for, gosh, I'm going to be going on 18 years in May. I've lived there, and I lived mostly among the Muslims. I lived among the Jews, but I worked among the Muslims, and I took food and clothing to them and helped them and listened to them. I interviewed them for my radio program, and they taught me so much. But one thing I know is that their mindset is different. No matter how much I worked with them and how close I was to them, I could not understand them completely. And these people that I worked with, I could go to their homes and we could break bread together. I was completely safe when I was in their home. But I never knew when they would turn on me. Because what they do is they fight for their brothers. And if you are seen to not fighting for your brothers, but sticking up for an infidel, then you could be killed, or your family could be killed, or your family could be tortured, or you could be tortured. So they fight for their own people if they get into that situation. So sometimes it's not safe for me to go deep into these territories like I used to go, because right now a lot of them are turning, and it's a scary situation.
That is very scary, and I felt the same thing over there. You just didn't know from day to day what was going to happen. And I did experience kind of a profound moment with one Sunni Muslim that I had befriended, Shia Muslim that I had befriended over there in Iraq. And he, it was 6 months of discussions, and he finally asked me, "Hey, Matt, do you know whether you're going to go to heaven or not?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I've accepted him. I have no question in my mind." And he started weeping, which, I mean, you understand the significance of a Muslim man weeping in front of an infidel. He was crying, and he said, he said, "I don't." But the for sure way for him to do it would have been jihad, and he didn't. And you just never knew what was going to happen. As we go into this holiday season and thinking about Muslim folks that are lost and are not saved, what is your message to folks in the last couple of minutes that we have left about how maybe we can think about it, how we can pray for them, and just your general message for the people here in Eastern Washington as we do head into the Christmas season?
Yeah, well, I would just like to say that in Bethlehem, they're going to have Christmas in Bethlehem as normal. Israelis are having celebrations for the Christians, the Arab Christians. And the Arab Christians are caught between two places. The Jews really kind of are afraid of them because they're Arab. And then the Muslims don't like the Christians, Arab Christians, because they're not Muslim. So as I went to the Nativity Square where they have the big Christmas tree and they have choirs from all over the world. You'll see it on television on Christmas Eve. And I've been in that square on Christmas Eve. And what goes on is the Christians come out, and tourists come out that are Christians, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But also the Muslims come out to harass the Christians. And when you try to go into the chapel, the Nativity Church, on Christmas Eve at midnight for Mass, first comes the entourage of the Palestinian Authority. They take up most of the rows in the front seats. So you've got part of the church filled up by the Palestinians, and the Christians take up the rest of them. So they kind of encroach on the Christians' freedom to have a Christmas. And I would just ask that people pray for the Christians in Bethlehem. The Christians, the Arab Christians, are being really harassed, persecuted, killed, slaughtered, as you know, around the world. And right now, my friends in Bethlehem told me the only place we're safe is in Israel, because no one else will protect us in the Middle East. So some of them are joining the Israel army, the IDF, just to fight. They say we should fight to keep our freedom, because they don't want to be beheaded by the Muslims or ISIS and all this. But they need prayers, and there needs to be prayer for Jerusalem. You know, in our Bible, it says for us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I don't know if there will ever be peace until the Prince of Peace comes. I just kind of doubt it. But maybe we're praying for the Prince of Peace to come. But pray for the peace of Jerusalem. People need prayer in Israel, all of them. And they need to get saved, the Muslims. You know, I talked to Muslims. I ran into one yesterday, and I started talking to her in the store. I spoke Arabic to her, got her attention, and we had a great conversation. But you know, when one of them gets saved, you know how many more get saved? Because they go and tell them, yes, they can get killed and they can lose everything, but they usually tell their family. I had one go tell his family that he got saved and what it meant, and that God loves them and Jesus loves them and the whole bit. And he was arrested by the Palestinian Authority, and he was in prison for 2 years, tortured. So they may take a big chance. So we just need to pray for them. The ones that have been born as Christians, the Arabs, and the Arabs that have become Christians. They're both in very hard places.
Cheryl Hancock, thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio again. May God bless you. May you have a great Christmas over there as well. I know that what you're doing is a sacrifice, and we really appreciate it. And I want you to know how much you are appreciated by everybody here on the ground, and especially the Christian community. I had a lot of great comments about your reports from Israel. So please keep it up, and love to have you back on again.
Thank you. Yes, I would love that also. Have a Merry Christmas.
All right. God bless and Merry Christmas. Cheryl Hancock from Israel, and talking about everything that's going on over there in the Middle East and some of the reactions. And we just don't see what's really happening sometimes here in the media in the United States. It's like two different complete news cycles. In fact, I just underwent this here last week with this whole, is Kathy McMorris going to be, appointed to Department of Interior and all of this that was going on. There were different news reports in different states. It was like two totally different reports in different states here in the U.S. And here we have it going on, obviously, internationally. And you heard what Cheryl mentioned. Please pray for the Christians that are there, for their safety, for the Jewish people, for the peace of Jerusalem, and also for the Muslim folks that are there that don't know Christ, that they can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, and that the right words will be put on the hearts of those people who are over there, like Cheryl, that are interacting in a very dangerous environment right now and are really bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ and making disciples there and showing love to neighbors, some of whom want to kill them for showing that love. So please, as you're thinking about things over Christmas dinner, maybe you could send a prayer for those folks over there as well. And I really thank you for your kind words. Every time we have Cheryl on, I just love hearing, what's really happening on the ground. And let me know, send me a private message if you can, and let me know if there's anything else that we should be asking her about what's happening in the Middle East. Well, this is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Remember to do everything you can to defend freedom locally. May God bless all of you. May he make this generation the greatest one.